Prime Minister Scott Morrison has announced Australia's vaccine rollout will be sped up, with pharmacies able to administer the vaccine sooner. The program has been extended to over 400 pharmacies across the country, with 48 of them in Sydney hotspot areas to start vaccinating people as early as next week. Australia is expecting 4.5 million doses of Pfizer to be delivered in August, but questions now revolve around how these doses will be distributed. Joining us this evening is Dr. Chris Freeman, the President of the Pharmaceutical Society of Australia. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Patricia.
Were pharmacies anticipating this announcement from the Prime Minister?
Well, as you rightly announced there, the announcement by the Prime Minister today has effectively brought forward the rollout of pharmacists to vaccinate in this campaign. So we currently have 118 pharmacies already providing this vaccine, and that will be extended to up to 470 at this month, and then progressively through September increased to the nearly 4,000 pharmacies across the country who have been approved to provide the vaccine.
Pharmacies have been calling to be involved at a greater capacity in the rollout. Had they been listened to? Would we have a higher vaccination rate by now if they actually had been listened to originally?
I think one of the things that has frustrated the pharmacy profession is that since early this year, we have been not only trained but ready to participate in the vaccine rollout. And we've had many people coming in, speaking to my colleagues, saying, when will you start offering the vaccinations? So I think the frustration from pharmacists is the inability to be able to help in the vaccine campaign thus far. But the announcement today is certainly a welcome step forward.
Does today's announcement come with a distribution strategy? So, you know, I'm thinking now, how many doses, where are they going? Is there an assurance they're not going to get wasted?
Well, one of the great things about the pharmacy network is that we're very attuned into being able to distribute medicines right across the country. And there is currently a process for distributing these vaccines to GP practices and COVID vaccination hubs, and that same process will be used to bring pharmacies online. In addition to that, we also have access to our wholesaler distribution network. So should there be issues with that, we can advocate for those distribution networks to also be used to distribute these vaccines.
Bendigo Health admits it threw out 500 expired AstraZeneca vaccine doses at the end of June, blaming the bungle on the Commonwealth government. How much of the vaccine is likely being thrown out at the moment?
It's really hard to say, and I don't think anyone really wants to see any of the vaccine wasted. The one thing that pharmacies are very good at is stock management, and we do this every day with our medicines. What the government has allowed for the AstraZeneca vaccine, at least, is the ability to transfer stock between sites. And so should a pharmacy, say, get a short-dated vaccination stock, they can reach out to other vaccine providers who have been approved by the government and transfer that stock should they be able to use it before the expiry date. So, you know, I agree that I don't think we want to see any of these vaccines go to waste, but there are some provisions to deal with that if should that happen.
Yeah, what are those protocols in place so you can avoid doing that?
So in your area, if you know that there are other vaccine providers available who have appointments that would be able to use those vaccines before the expiry date, that pharmacy, say, could reach out to those other vaccine providers and arrange for a transfer of stock under the cold chain conditions so that those vaccines wouldn't then go to waste.
How are pharmacies feeling about receiving vaccines which are going to expire?
Well, I think ideally that shouldn't happen, and certainly that's something that we would not be advocating for to happen. But as I said, I think pharmacies are well versed in managing stock, and should they receive vaccine stock that has, say, a short expiry date, I think they have already got processes set up to either be able to use that within the time frame needed or transfer that to other provider sites which could use that within the expiry limits.
Do you feel customers or those booking in to get their jabs will feel more comfortable going through their local pharmacist compared to a hub-style setup?
Look, I think that will vary from person to person, but certainly the people that I've been speaking to have been curious why they haven't been able to go into their community pharmacy just yet and get this vaccine, because this is a site that they're already used to coming to and getting medicines from. This is a site that they're already used to coming to get their vaccines administered from. So there are certainly patients who I've been speaking to, and many of my colleagues have been speaking to, where they do want this to happen at the community pharmacy. And I think that will avoid some of the downside to the mass vaccination hubs, such as waiting in long lines with other people.
Do you believe today's announcement will solve the failures we've seen in the vaccine rollout thus far?
Look, I think it's an important piece of the puzzle, and I think it's an important step forward. Certainly, as we see greater supplies of vaccines come into the country, there'll be reduced pressure on the system to be able to get people the vaccines that they actually need. Of course, at this point in time, the pharmacies will only get access to the AstraZeneca vaccine, and then, as we'll see in September, once we get the stock from Moderna, the pharmacies progressively being able to administer that vaccine as well. So I think it will ease some of the pressures, but I think we've still got a bit of a way to go before we actually get through the back end of this pandemic.
And how about that conversation that now pharmacists will have to have, just like doctors are, about people waiving their rights, if you like, or knowing that they're accepting a risk for taking AstraZeneca if they're in one of the groups that's not recommended by TAGI to get it?
Yeah, so part of the training process to deliver these vaccines does talk about the informed consent process. So pharmacists are trained to have that conversation with people as they come in and request that. And I've actually been working as a pharmacist in a medical centre providing the vaccine, so I'm acutely aware of what that consultation looks like. Importantly, pharmacists already have these sorts of conversations around informed consent with other types of medicines, particularly vaccines with influenza, for example. And so they are armed and they are prepared to have those conversations. I think if the person still is unsure, then there is also the opportunity for them to go and speak to their GP.
I find this really interesting because I know GPs that have spoken to young people I know, and have said, look, I don't think you should get it, actually. I think you should wait for Pfizer and just be careful and, you know, then go on about distance and do all the other things you need to do, so in a proportionate way. Will there be pharmacists who give that same advice to a 19-year-old?
Look, it really depends on the risk profile of that person. Certainly in hotspots that we're seeing around the country, particularly in metropolitan Sydney, for example, we're seeing that the risk-benefit ratio really shifting towards a greater benefit over the risk in terms of AstraZeneca vaccine. So in certainly places like that, certainly the risk for a younger person benefits for a young person would outweigh the risk. And so it really will depend on the individual circumstances of that person, how vulnerable they might be to having the severe effects from COVID, their age, obviously. So, I think that some of the advice might be from pharmacists to wait, potentially, if that's the circumstance for the patient. But where certainly the risk-benefit ratio is higher, then I think the advice will be to proceed with the AstraZeneca vaccine should the patient choose to do that.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
Dr. Chris Freeman is the President of the Pharmaceutical Society of Australia.